talk to you for a little bit about this business of the Comforter. I read to you there in the 14th chapter of the book of John. When the Comforter's come, He'll teach you all things. He'll make you teachable. We know that that promise is unto His people, His children. Only His children are teachable. Those that are yet in the gall of bitterness are unteachable. They don't want to be taught. Ye will not come to me. Ye cannot come. So the application, the promise is made to the people of God. But the Holy Spirit, who was promised by the Lord Jesus to teach His people and to be with His people while they sojourn here on this earth. Been here now for these 2,000 years. But one day is as 1,000 years in God's sight, so we've only been here 2 days in the sight of God. So time is short, and soon the Lord will come back for us. And while we're here, He'll teach us. He'll teach us who He is in Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, the blessed third person of the Trinity. He too is God. God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. We talked this morning about our natural state, being dead in trespasses and in sin, spiritually dead, not physically dead. We're alive physically, but spiritually we're dead because of our inheritance from our first father. Because of the imputation of Adam's sin to us by one man's sin, we all are disobedient. And so, while we were in that condition and state, without God and without hope in this world, and no inkling of who God is, no desire to know God. But there was a time, God's time, and there was a place, God's place, when we come to a understanding and a vast importance of spiritual things. And the one who brought that about is God the Holy Spirit. He's the one gives life. We're dead. We're dead spiritually. Come from Adam. Charged to us. Imputed to us. By one man's disobedience. So we're dead. And if we ever get life, spiritual life, it'll come by the Holy Spirit. That's His work. That's His office. He's here for a specific reason. To give the people of God life. Our Lord said, I'm going to go away, but I'll not leave you without some form of comfort. Comfortless. I'll send one. The Holy Spirit. He'll teach you and guide you and direct you in all truth. So it's the Holy Spirit. It's He who gives life by His divine power. Now let's get this straight here this evening. It's not the sinner's will or faith that results in the new birth or quickening or conversion. It's not the sinner's will or the sinner's faith. It is the Holy Spirit of God that quickens and gives life. Third person of the, that's his specific office, is to give life to the people of God, those that God has sanctified and set apart, and put them in Christ before the world began. Chose us, elected us, set us aside, and put us in Jesus Christ. That's where God put us. And you hath He quickened. Put us in Christ. And I like to say that He put us in Christ, and where He put us, we stayed. He put us in Christ, grace given to us in Christ before the world began. He put us in Christ. Where He put us, we stayed. He preserved us in Christ, and in time He called us with a holy calling, and the Spirit of God gave us life. We had to have life, and that life is the life of God. We're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So it's not the sinner's will, it's not the sinner's faith that results in the new birth, quickening, and conversion. The sinner, alienated sinner, unregenerate sinner, the sinner that's outside of Christ, the sinner that is far off from God, the sinner that is dead in trespasses and in sins, the sinner does not exercise his will toward God, or he does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the result of he's born again. That's not so. That's not so. Let me say it again. The sinner does not exercise his will towards God. We have a great division of people in this world alive tonight. Some believe that the sinner has a free will, and some believe that his will is connected with his nature, and instead of being free, he's a slave to his nature. So the sinner now does not exercise his will towards God, or he does not believe in Jesus Christ. As the result, he is born again. No, the new birth is not the result or the effect of anything that a sinner does. The Holy Spirit is the sole agent of the new birth. And we must be born again. I told you this morning that this highly respected Jewish religious leader, Pharisee, ruler of the Jews, proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that immorality is not necessary, and highly respected man is not necessary, evidences of salvation. He was a good man, humanly speaking, as people looked upon Nicodemus, they all liked him, and lifted him up and honored him and all that, but yet at the same time our Lord Jesus Christ looked him over and did not have anything bad to say about the fellow, or didn't have anything good to say about the fellow. He did not greet him with, "I'm so glad you come that you and I could talk about this. I know you're highly religious." He didn't have no small talk with Nicodemus. he point blank told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And if Nicodemus is, was, or will be ever born again, it'll come as a direct result of he whom the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll send one, the Spirit of Truth. And his specific office is to quicken men in their dead state and to give them the life of God. So, the new birth is not the result of anything a sinner does or any condition that the sinner meets. That is, if you do this and if you do that, the effect of your doing this will result in you being born again. Oh, I believe in Christ. Believing in Christ will not bring about the new birth. You believe in Christ because you have experienced the new birth. The believing in Christ is the result of the Spirit's work in you, quickening you and giving you life. Conditions. That is the area where men are so far off from this salvation by the grace of God. If I do this, and if I do something else, if I change, if I don't do this anymore, if I do this, and so forth, if meet certain conditions. But there's no conditions. No conditions whatsoever. Faith, you see, does not come before spiritual life. You've got to have spiritual life before you have faith. Faith is a gift of God, and faith is a result of spiritual life. It's a result of the sovereign, specific work of the sovereign Spirit. He gives you life, and the result of life, you have faith. Well, until the outcast, until the sinner is made alive spiritually, until he's made alive spiritually, he will continue in unbelief. If he is spiritually dead all of his life for 70, 80 years, spiritually dead, he will remain all of that time in unbelief. He's got to be made spiritually alive. Now, there's lots of religionists that you would think, they talk about believing in Jesus and they go to church and those things, but for the most part, the majority of them go because they're meeting a condition. And they think if they meet a condition, the effect and result of what they do will bring about this experience. But that's not so. The Holy Spirit is the agent of this sovereign work. He does the quickening. Now the sinner cannot come to Christ. Why? Because he will not. He will not come to Christ in himself. He's got to have spiritual life. He's got to be quickened before he comes. And I'll tell you why he won't come, because for the most part, the average sinner, like you and I, we're saved sinners, by the way, we're saved by the grace of God. We didn't strike a bargain with God and say, you do this and I'll do that. It was a sovereign act of the Holy Spirit that quickened us here in time. Give us life. Give us the life of God. Made us to live. We cried out, Abba, Father. We desire now to exercise this faith that God gives us to serve and to honor and to obey God in Christ, because we've been quickened and got a new life, new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things passed away and all things become new, new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the sinner that's alienated from God, alienated from the love of God, far off from the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not come to Christ. Why? Because he insists on salvation some other way than Christ and his blood and his righteousness. That's reason he won't come. He got another way figured out. My way is as good as your way. That's what he said. My way. Oh, if I do this, if I do that, I'll be all right. No, you won't. You can quit your habits, and you can quit this and quit that and take on other virtues and all of that, and you still will come to Christ. You won't come. You can't come. You got another way. You won't submit yourself to the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only ground of salvation. You won't do it. You've got to have life. If God gives you life, you'll submit yourself. If you don't, you'll continue on in your way, insisting that your way of salvation is as good as anybody else's. And it won't get the job done. That's the reason the gospel is said to be offensive. It offends human pride. It tells human pride, you can't do anything to save yourself. Oh, you can't talk to me that way. I can do something. I can read my Bible. I can quit cussing. And I can quit this and quit that. I can decorate myself up. Have a made up stick on paste on righteousness. Won't help you a bit. Won't help you a bit. So, the new birth then is the result of Christ's blood and righteousness imputed to the sinner, charged to the sinner's account. And it is the result of the work of the Blessed Spirit. It's the result of His power, the Holy Spirit's power and work in the sinner. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the sovereign agent in the new birth, but He never does His work in the new birth without the preaching of the gospel. Over here in this same book, Romans, this is what it says. Oh, Paul was wanting to go to Rome. Rome, the capital city of the world. All roads lead to Rome. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He'd been there before. He wanted to go back to impart some spiritual gift to those that the Spirit had quickened, to those that had come to know the God of the Bible. And he said in verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles." They said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. No man can believe until he's born again. He can't believe in the Christ of God to the salvation of his soul and believe the witness of God concerning who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done until the Spirit hath done his work. That hath given us life, quickened us. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's multiplied billions of people. I said billions, that's a whole lot, ain't it? But I believe it's billions of people on this earth at any given time that are unbelievers. Why are they unbelievers? Because the Spirit hath not quickened them. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, other sheep I have that are not in this fold, they must come. That's what our Lord said. The Jews thought that the Savior was to come to save Jews only. And that's one reason why these Pakistanians and Arabs and Jews now hate the Gentiles, because they've always believed that God is with their visible people as a nation, that they're the apple of God's eye. But when Paul come on the scene, God sent him to the Gentiles. And so now he says, to the Jew first, preach to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, also to the Gentiles. Preach what? The gospel that he's not ashamed of. Why does he preach the gospel? He says, for therein the gospel is the righteousness of God. Is not that what God requires out of us? This whole shooting match is about the keeping of God's law perfectly. That's righteous. Righteousness is that which the Lord Jesus Christ brought about or established from the time He came until the time He left. He established a righteousness. He came when the law was in the dirt. Our Lord Jesus Christ honored, exalted that law that was cast down and brought it up and magnified that holy law by keeping every jot and every tittle of it. That's the righteousness that God requires. That's the righteousness that we need. That's the righteousness that's our ticket to heaven. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. So, what I'm saying here is that he never works in his specific office of applying salvation to God's people without the gospel. They hear the gospel. Who Christ is, the Son of God and Son of Man in one person. What did Christ do? He worked out a righteousness that he freely imputes to the believer. That's what he did. That righteousness, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, and the righteousness that he established, that is the gospel. That's all we need, is the gospel. And the gospel is the blood. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Jesus in my flesh. Jesus incarnate in my flesh did not sin, but as my substitute, He died in the flesh to pay my penalty, because the wages of sin is death. He paid that penalty. And the law said, this do and live. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I do. And He done everything that the law required, fulfilling all righteousness. So, the ground, the basis of the forgiveness of sins, the clothing, the wedding garment, it's all based on the blood, the shedding of the blood. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. He shed His blood. When He shed His blood, you know where I was? I was in Him. God, every believer now, not just me, every believer was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God put every believer in Christ, kept him and preserved him in Christ, and when Christ died, the believer died with him. And when Christ rose again, the believer rose with him. And when Christ is seated on that throne, we're seated in it. Now that's the truth. Well, I said that He never works in His specific office, the Holy Spirit, without the gospel or outside the context of the gospel. In salvation, both legal and moral death are taken care of. And we come from condemnation to justification based on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, imputed to our account or imputed to our charge. This righteousness that I'm talking about is the merit of all His work in the redemption of His people. That's what is right. His righteousness is, in language that you and I can understand, His righteousness amounts to sinless perfection. Sinless perfection. Someone ever ask you if you're without sin, sinlessly perfect? Tell him, say, well, not in myself, but I am in Him. Everything I am or hope to be is all in Him. Every blessing's in Him. Not in me, it's in Him. I stand in Him. How do you say, God put me there. He chose me and put me in Christ. Preserved me there, kept me there. And I'll be there throughout the eternity. And that's salvation by grace. I never earned it. I don't deserve it. He did it because He would. The only reason. No particular reason that He could find in you or I. Well, it's the righteousness of God as revealed in the gospel that I just read. And that's the only ground of our salvation. It's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Well, I'm going to quit there. I've said enough. I'm tired and you're tired. But I want you to remember that. The Holy Spirit of God is the specific and appointed agent to bring about the new birth. It's His work and His work alone, God the Spirit. He quickens us and gives us the life of God. And when the life of God comes, He gives us faith. And faith worketh by love. And the love of God is shed abroad in our heart when we hear the gospel that God so loved us. So loved us specifically that He put us in Christ. Loved us and the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, suffered our penalty, kept the precepts of the law perfectly, give it to us freely. So we come from condemnation to justification. Oh, my soul, he's to be blessed and to be thanked. And all that he done, all that the Lord has accomplished on our behalf, he did to the honor and the glory of God. God can only be glorified in the accomplishment and the achievement that our Lord and the Holy Spirit worked out in this great salvation. All the attributes of God joined together. Bless God and praise God that righteousness has been established. The law's been lifted up and honored. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, let's